what you felt, but you dealt with it like the strong black woman you are. Through our trials and tribulations, child's elimination, an integration of thoughts I feel about the situation. Back and forth, my feelings was patient, happy deep down, but not joyed enough to have it. But even that's a lie, less than 2 weeks, we was back at it. Is this unprotected love, or safe to say it's lust busting? More than a sweat in somebody you trust. Or is it that we don't trust each other enough and believe having this child to make us have to stay together? Don't want you in my life cause you have made it better. Thinking we all in love cause we can spend a day together. We talking spending the rest of our lives. It's too many black women that can say they mothers but can't say that they wives. I wouldn't choose any other to mother my understanding, but I want our parenthood to come from planning. It's so much in my life that's undone. We gotta see eye to eye about family before we can become one. If you had decided to have it, the situation I wouldn't run from, but I'm walking, finding myself and my God, so I can discipline my son with my rod. And I have a judge telling me how and when to raise my seed. Though his death was out our creed, with no one else to blame, I had a book of African names, case our mind change. Just say your period hasn't came, and lately I've been sleepy, so quit smoking the weed and the beaties, and let's have this boy.
Welcome to the Cold World Podcast. How's everybody doing? It's been a minute. A lot has changed. A lot of things have been happening in our country, personally, all that stuff. But I missed you all. This is the day after Father's Day. And so I guess one of the best gifts I could give my pops is to discuss, I don't know, I guess it's to honor him, talk about him on one of the things that I put the most passion and effort in, which is either my writing or my podcast. And then I'm launching a new thing that I want you all to hear about. So if I have time, I'll get to that towards the end. But, you know, for this very special Father's Day podcast, I'm going to talk about, you know, my pops. I'm going to try to honor him a little bit. And, you know, one of the things and the reasons why I do this podcast is because I like to be, like, honest. I like to give perspectives that I think are real perspectives. And I think that a lot of people are familiar with and deal with, but you just don't really see it that often in media, right? People make things in consumable chunks for other folks, and they just too scared to be honest with things, man. So I'm going to try to do that. The relationship with my father has been an interesting one. It's been tumultuous. It's been, I mean, there's a lot of points in the relationship with my pops where we just didn't get along for whatever reason, regardless of whose fault it may have been or whatever. So let me, like, jump into that. So my pops, I'm the third. I'm sure y'all know that because I say the third all the time, but my pops is Charles LaVon Cole Jr. And I came up in a really interesting way. So my pops grew up in Chicago. He is a Chicago boy. Argo, that's the area in Illinois that he loves and he talks about a whole bunch. And, you know, we lived in a lot of different places in Chicago. And and my dad, I don't know if he ever just really converted to being like a true Californian. I think since coming here, I think he's always longed and wanted to be back in Chicago. I actually think that the only reason we stayed out here so long is because he has three kids, and those kids are definitely California kids. I would say my little brother and sister more so than me. Even though I am a California kid, but I can remember, you know, living in the other parts of the country. But for my brother and sister, this is all they know, even though they were born in Chicago. My brother was born in Kentucky, my sister was born in Chicago. And so there are just some mannerisms that I think that my dad had and some longing that I've always just witnessed and experienced from him since we've lived out here. But my pops is an interesting cat, man. Like, he is, I gotta see, this is the thing. I can be pretty hard on my dad at times. And I think I was a lot throughout, like, our childhood. And so through my childhood, not our childhood, we weren't kids together, but my dad was fairly young, I guess, when they had me. And my dad always seemed to want to be a father. Now, I don't know what the conversation was when I was made. I don't know what the conversation was when my mother let him know that I was cooking inside of her. But to my knowledge, he is always just taking great pride in being a father. And I don't know if he felt that was his second chance. I don't know. I just don't know how he processed that. Like, but my dad was, you know, I remember him being somewhat of a street hustler. I always make fun of him and say that he wasn't a very good one, but a street hustler nonetheless. And he was always there, like when he could be. I mean, my pops got into a lot of trouble early on, and I recently went back home to Chicago and dealt around in Maywood, the place where I was born, to visit my uncle, but also just to kind of drive around and just see what the neighborhood looks like now, and to go back to where both my parents went to high school, Proviso East, and to like walk around there and walk those halls and like walk the streets that they walked in. And you know, from my uncle's perspective, from my perspective, from things that I can remember, not much has really changed in Maywood. I mean, it really felt like I stepped in a time machine and went back to the 80s, where, I mean, you know, it's still garbage cans is on fire and homeless folks is around those garbage cans. You could definitely still see folks strung out, you know, just kind of out in the cold, having those types of conversations. And I just see a lot of young folks, that have seemed to have just given up in some form or fashion, like already. And when I say young folks, I'm talking about like 15 and 16 years old. And you can see that here in Oakland, right? Like, I see a lot of young people out, but it was just a different feeling. It wasn't like these young people were just out there hustling. Like, it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen, and still is, if I see somebody that's like 15 or 16 just strung out. Like, that just doesn't. Like, that's hard. That can be difficult to register at times, right? And this is in 2015. And so, like I said, not much has changed. And Chicago is just getting, I mean, this is really bad, right? Especially if you're in parts of the woods. So my people was in Maywood. It's not that far from Englewood. But Englewood right now is like a war zone. I mean, people were saying Chirac and things like that. And I think, you know, I can only imagine what that looked like in the 80s. So to stay on topic, that's the environment that my pops grew up in. And so my dad got into drugs early. And he'll probably tell you all the stuff. Maybe one day I'll do a show with him and let him tell his own story. But he got into that game early. You know, he and my mom have been together since she was in high school. My dad is madly crazy in love with my mom's. It's funny because I'm Facebook friends with them, which is weird. I'm so glad Facebook wasn't around when I was a kid. So glad. And like, my pops is just mad corny, right? Like, so what I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way, but he'll pop up in my feed and it'll be like, him and my mom would be taking a trip somewhere and he'll be like, I'm on the road with my dime. And he'll like capitalize dime. It's just weird. Kids just shouldn't have to see that stuff. It makes me uncomfortable is what it does. I'm so glad that this was not around when I was a kid. But anyway, and so, you know, but I grew up with my pops, you know, kind of in and out of jail. My mom's kind of in and out of jail. They just lived that lifestyle, that young partying lifestyle. And they discovered, you know, crack when crack was like a party drug, when it was something that was still new and it was still kind of fresh. And I don't think people really knew the magnitude and just how potent and how that drug could take over your life. I don't think people knew that effect that early on until it was too late, right? Like, it just, like, crack just hit. I don't know if there are many things that have just hit our nation or like the black population as hard as crack. The only thing I can think of after that is the prison industrial complex that kind of came along with that, right? With Reaganomics and stuff. I'm not about to get into all that. It's not a history. This is not a. This is not a drug policy podcast. But that was my reality, and so we moved a lot. And my parents had really supportive parents. So my dad, I remember living with my grandfather, my dad's dad. in Chicago. And then I remember, you know, we moved from there to Kentucky with my grandmother, whom I talk about a lot. This is my maternal grandmother, who did played a big role in raising me. And so, but what happened is, I mean, when my grandmother passed, you know, my parents kind of had to get their stuff together. And so my dad had family here in Cali. And so we moved here to California. His sister stayed out here. We lived with her for a while. And then, my mother was in jail at the time. So my mother came after she got out of jail, right? I know, like, if you saw my parents now, they're like the sweetest, like, little church folks that you would see. My parents was thugs, yo. They should have released an album. I just wasn't even cut from their cloth. Like, it's crazy. So me and my dad, you know, I remember, like, living in shelters, right? But the thing is about that, it sounds really bad, but it really wasn't that bad. I wasn't that unhappy as a child, right? I think a lot of people would feel that the reasons of why my father and I have, like, fallen out at different times was because of those things. And that really isn't the case. It's not at all. You know, as a kid, you only know what you know. So you know something probably isn't right, or you know that your life may be a little different than these other people. But I moved around so much, I never really settled in on that stuff. And, you know, you just live your life, right? And so, but what my pops did is, like, I never slept, like, outside. Like, my dad hustled and grind and hit the grind and made sure that we always had, like, a roof over our heads. Right. That was one thing that I think that I gotta give it up to homie on that. Right. That's not necessarily an easy thing. And so when my parents started to really get clean, that's when me and my pops actually started to have our issues. And so I look at, like, me and my dad argued a lot, yo. Like, so this is the thing. Like, I didn't like my dad a lot of the time. And, you know, my dad didn't have a whole ton of education or things like that, but I think he was trying to instill in me certain values that I think that either were instilled in him or that he wished were instilled in him. So my dad always was on me about homework, like, relentlessly crazy about homework. And I remember being younger, and I would get I wouldn't get an A, or actually I didn't, when I came here, they didn't give out A's and B's in elementary school. It was E's and S's. So it was E for excellent, S for satisfactory. And I remember I had, like, some S's on my report card, and he, like, got in me. He was so upset. And I still had one of the best report cards in the classroom, but he was just like, he just didn't understand why I didn't have all E's or all A's or whatever. And so my pops has always been, like, on me about that. And so we would have tension around certain things like that. My pops is a military dude. So he was a Marine. My uncle was a Marine who fought in Vietnam. And so that cloth too. So I'm a big yes, sir, no, sir type of dude, right? Like, or yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. That's just how I grew up. So when my dad said something to me, he projected his voice. He was yelling, basically. And I didn't know it was yelling. That's just how we spoke. And it was always like, stand up straight, sit up straight, you know. And he asked me something, I'll say, yeah, no. He'd be like, what you say to me? He's, yes, sir, no, sir, right? And that's just kind of the way that I came up. And now I appreciate that a ton. But at the time, it was something different, you know. And so far, you know, as I'm being reflective about the impact that my pops has had on me, you know, like I said, I don't write this stuff. I'm trying to give you, like, a real look into what that was. I remember being really young, and I was a timid kid. I was a real timid kid. I think just because of the uncertainties of, like, not knowing where you're going to sleep at and not knowing where you're going to be. I didn't ever really have a bunch of friends. And so I remember I got into it with this kid, and this kid used to, like, bully me and pick on me. And I came home, and the word that got back to my pops that, like, I didn't fight this kid back. And my dad was livid, like, livid. So my pops, he made me, we was living in Kentucky at the time. I was younger. I was, like, maybe 8. So he made me stop my homework. That's how I knew it was serious, because I had stopped doing my homework. And he was like, let's go. I was like, where are we going? He said, let's go. In that big voice, right? He was a big dude. He was a real, well, I was a really small kid. He ain't that big now, but at the time, he was a really big dude. So I got up and we went to the park, and we like found this kid. And my dad like made me fight this kid. And I just didn't want to fight him. I didn't want to do that. And you know, in our super liberal world now, right, our super extreme PC world, this is something that people will like frown upon. Like let that boy be sensitive. Let this and that happen, right? But in the way in which in the world that I grew up in, and I think even more so the world that my pops grew up in, like they're just a different set of rules, right? And if you're in a jungle, you need to understand what the rules of the jungle are, you know, versus if you're in the rules of the suburb. There are different rules for different places. And we grew up in the projects. And in those places, you can't be scared and you can't be afraid. And I was both of those things. And I know scared and afraid is the same thing. I don't need you picking apart all the little things that I say, but damn it, I was scared and afraid, right? Of this kid who was a little bit bigger than me. And I grew up real like small. And so basically, you know, my dad hit me with the line of either you're going to fight him or you're going to fight me. So, I mean, I didn't, in that case, I didn't want to fight this kid. I just didn't. And so, you know, after a while, you know, my dad was like, come on, let's go. And I went home and he just talked to me about the importance of, in his own way, right? It probably wouldn't have been the most coherent if you didn't grow up where I grew up. But in his own way, what he was articulating to me was that you can't, like, when you don't have much in this world except for, like, your word, your honor, and you can't let somebody take that. You can't do it. And that stuff didn't really make a lot of sense to me at that age. But I think as I watched my dad, who, you know, early on, like, he struggled. There were some jobs that he may have struggled to keep, or there were just situations and circumstances where things didn't go his way, or, you know, living in shelters, like there are rules, right? Like there is a person that's telling you as an adult what time you need to be in and like setting these rules up. And this is happening in front of like your firstborn son. Like I said, times are changing, but I think there's a special bond that a man has with his like firstborn son, right? Like even if you go back to the Bible, there's always this thing about a father and his firstborn son. And so I think that, you know, I saw my dad eat those type of orders or deal with those things. And I think that that's just something that he never really wanted for me. And I think that it made him feel, I know it hurt my pops that he couldn't provide certain things for me the way that a lot of other folks may have been providing for their kid. So fast forward, when I got to Oakland, we finally like settled, right? Like this is when we finally moved into North Oakland, and my dad started to clean up his act and because my mom's, I got clean, right? And let me, like, this fool is in love with my mom, something crazy. It's like a really weird, uncomfortable relationship. I've never been as in love with anybody as this dude is with my mom's. And they got a lot of dysfunction early on. Like it was some hood stuff happening early on. But that dude has always and consistently loved my mom, right? And so my mom's got clean, and basically she was like, look, I'm bouncing if you don't. And I remember my mom's like went through a program. She went through NA and AA. And my pops just stopped. Maybe he caught some meetings here or there. Like my mom was committed to like this process. Like my dad's like, I think she's serious. I think she really gonna leave, and it's gonna be somebody else around my kids, and I can't have that. And he just stopped. Like I don't know how much he struggled. I don't know how much he kind of fell back a dabble. But if he did, he held it. He kept it well from us, right? And so my pops, you know, quit doing drugs, ended up joining the ministry, and just proceeded to change his life. But, you know, me, my relationship with my dad just always had its own little issues. Like, I actually wanted my parents to not be together. I actually remember being young and having to deal with like social workers, and I saw this place where I could be living with like these white folks out in the suburbs, and this house with like my own room, which I had never had before. And I remember like, I was like, I remember being disappointed that that didn't happen. Like, like most kids would be happy that their parents are like together and that unit is working itself out. I was like, oh, this kid got a room and like a TV and his own bike, and it's a garage downstairs, and I ain't never, this is a mansion. It was a 2-story little 4-bedroom house. But I wanted that. I just never had had that experience, right? So I was like disappointed that this worked out. I'm like mad at everybody, right? And I told you, I'm gonna be really honest. But what happens, I end up making a bunch of friends when I settled into Oakland. Like that has been my home since. And I was like at 11. I had been there earlier, like the same block my cousins lived on, and then I stayed with them. Then we got a house in the neighborhood, all that good stuff, right? And so all the kids love my pops, right? They my dad was just different. My dad loved to cook. My dad always welcomed my friends over. My dad would do things like, I mean, I didn't understand it then, but what he ended up doing was being like a surrogate pops for a lot of people. A few of those people was like Will, who was my best friend, who's like a brother to me. I call him my brother. He's been on this podcast. Another person was Donald. We called him Tank, who's no longer with us. But like these cats love my pops, and they just would spend a lot of time together. And me and my pops just didn't get along. And I think that they looked at me weird, right? Because my friends, they just like, yo, we don't have that thing, and you are taking that for granted. But yeah, man, my dad was there, and I'm sure he could have did a whole bunch of things better. And I don't really excuse that, right? But I think the fact that he was there, so having a big dad, let me tell you what that does. It's just certain things I just didn't do. I didn't go out and do stupid stuff because my dad was big and he kicked my ass. It just that, like, if I'm just being totally honest and real with you, like, that's just what it kind of, you know, came down to, right? Like a lot of my friends in homes with single moms or with grandparents, and you know, I mean, they loved and respected those women. But them women, if they decided to do something, they didn't want to do something. Like, there was nobody that was going to, like, physically move them or anything was going to happen. And it's not like I just got, like, beat and all that stuff. I mean, every whooping that I got in my life, I pretty much deserved it, right? But it was just the acknowledgement that that could happen. And then, I think that the situation with me made my parents, you know, different types of parents for my brother and sister. So I'm 6 and 8 years older than my brother and sister respectively. And so, you know, I think that they because they felt bad at how I had to grow up, like my brother and sister had a very different life, right? Like my parents worked their way to, they in the suburbs now. They are not in Oakland. They somewhere in the Sacramento suburbs. But like, you know, they got a house, and they just, the interactions are just different, right? So the ways in which I had to grow up and be tough is different from what they did with my like brother and sister, who are both clearly much more guarded young people. But for me, I just, failure just wasn't an option. And to pick up that story, like where I was getting picked on, I mean, my dad instilled in me earlier, like I have this, like I'm not a fighter, like I don't get in a bunch of fights, I'm too old for that, but I'm a fighter in the sense of I really take pride in who I am and the things that I build, and like respect is a big thing for me. And so like I don't know if that same fight would be there had my dad not really instilled that in me earlier. And if my dad didn't force me to be the best in everything that I did and the way I did it, like I don't know, I think I would have settled for a lot of different things. So I became the kid that was upset when I got a 3.5 as opposed to like something higher, right? Because it was like, nah, I can do better, and I gotta do better, and I need to figure this out. And you know, a lot of who I am today and a lot of the drive that I have, listen, I spent a long time, like me and my dad go through these things where like we just don't talk, like we get into it, like we still are, like it just, it happens. We haven't had like a big argument in years, but from high school, from the end of middle school to about, mid 20s, it just was an up and down thing, because I mean, we both are really strong minded, like strong willed, not back down type people. And it just plays out the way it plays out. And I'm just a real independent person, right? Like I didn't grow up with a whole bunch of hugs. I like the way that I've grown up, right? And the type of man that I've, you know, grown into. And I owe a lot of that to just the circumstances in which I grew up under. So I didn't grow up in an environment where sensitivity was, you know, something to be lauded. I grew up where that was a liability. I didn't grow up in a place where, you know, you was trying to like get in touch with certain type of feelings and things like that. It just wasn't that type of environment. Our environment was, all right, we about to move again. Our environment was, all right, you know, this is your eighth school, but I still expect you to be the best in this classroom. I don't care what your circumstances are, because you're not gonna end up the way that I ended up. Like me going to college was never a question for my family. It was for me, but for them, it just wasn't. And they just were like, I think that my parents truly felt, had they gone to college, like their entire life would be different. And I think that that's something that they instilled in me. Another funny moment, Will likes to tell this story a lot, but maybe I'll have him tell it. So, you know, at 15, I went through the thing that all boys end up going through with their pops. You know, that's when puberty starts, your voice starts to crack, you know. And, you know, my dad said something to me I didn't like one day, right? And I was like, you know, I ain't about to take this crap. I ain't even eat this food. Why am I doing dishes? Right. And so I started to pop off, and you know, at that age you pass the belt, right? Like it's just like my dad, I was way past that. And so, but like I like straight up do little boys, especially little black boys, go through this phase with their pops where it's like I can take dude, like he can old, like I can beat him in basketball now, which that happened really early. But it's like, nah man, I can put him up with this cat. So I puffed my chest up with a bunch of air and told my dad what I wasn't going to do. And I am a strong advocate of this as well. Like, it was, oh, this is my dad's reaction. Wait, what? Boy, I will kill you. So, you know, I call this going out to the backyard. This is a pivotal moment in the black teenage boy dad paradigm. This is a moment of truth right here. You know, this puberty happens in a bunch of ways. This is that puberty. I was introduced that day to what I like to call grown man strength. And what I mean by grown man strength is like, yeah, you pass spanking, son. So yeah, it was one punch. It was one to the chest, and all the little air that I puffed up, it was, yeah, it was gone. It was my chest was definitely caved. And my dad gave me that look like, bruh, we can do this all night if you want. Yeah, so let me tell you though, man, those moments saved my life, man. That's what's truly saved me from being a real knucklehead. Like I am a stubborn kid. I am, and all this is true to this day. I expect the best from myself. I'm gonna push myself. I like to be my own man. I wanted to separate myself from my family really quickly. Like as soon as I graduated from high school, I was out. I left for school. I mean, I came back for like a summer or something, but I was a real independent dude. But knowing that there was always somebody that could really and truly hold me accountable, even if the life lessons that they gave you wasn't the most pristine, even if I didn't have the Andy and Opie, like, let's go fishing type of relationship, even if we didn't change tires together or go out back and throw footballs and things like that. In the environment that I grew up in, that level of accountability and knowing that I'd have somebody to answer to, and in life there's always going to be somebody to answer to, and you can step up. You can, if when you feel like you're ready, when you're feeling froggy, you are more than welcome to leap. But there might be consequences. Those things, I think those are the things that kept me out of jail. I think those are the reasons that I was not a teenage father. I think that those are the reasons that I graduated from high school the way I did. I think those are the reasons why I played basketball and I was as relentless on that basketball court, even though I wasn't as physically gifted as some of my friends. I think those are the things that led me to becoming a champion debater in my junior year of high school, even though I didn't even care for that sport. I think those are the things that got me through college. I think those are the things that got me through grad school, that have gotten me in a position where I'm able to do the type of things that I like to do. And my life would be so much different if I didn't have Charles LaVon Cole Jr. in it. I'm not always the best son, and I probably will never be. I have no desire. I don't want to really. I'm not a cheesy type guy. Like, I don't really want to drive out there for the Thanksgivings and the Christmases and things like that. That's just not necessarily my thing. But I am more than appreciative. I mean, my parenting style is probably going to be different because the only difference is I have more money than my parents did. And I'm growing up in a very different time. But there are some things that stuck with me that I will try to make sure that my kids have, if I decide to have kids, that's still up in the air. And there are just certain parenting things that I even see in my best friend Will that are straight from my pops. Just, you know, the way in which Will tries to build in tradition into his family, the way he makes his kids be really respectful, the way in which he expects the best out of them, and like the way he goes about it. I don't know if Will's boys may have that 15-year-old the challenge of pops thing, but I'm pretty sure he's gonna probably answer that call the same way. So I don't say it a lot. I probably don't say it enough. But dude, I love you. You did the best you could with what you had. And I truly, truly appreciate it. So hopefully this makes up for the lack of a card or, you know, going out to some dinner or whatnot. You was on the road anyway. You like in Chicago with my mom. But let me not act like that would have been different if you were in town. But whatever. All right. So. Thank you. And now shifting gears. So I have, and I'll dedicate more time to this. I've wanted to create a platform for some time now that just really uplifted our people. And there's a lot of things that just show the really bad and negative sides of being black or being poor or whatever. And I just felt like how different could things be if people had a place where they constantly saw positive images or great work happening in, around, and for like impoverished folks. And I say that, I mean, a lot of this is going to be about black people, but I'm not limited to that because I have a lot of shared experience with folks that's not black. And I have some amazing friends that's doing some amazing things, so I wanted to lift that up. So I'm building a platform. It's not totally done, but you can go and see the site now. It'll have more content soon, but it's energyconverters.org. .com works as well. And when you spell converters, I spell it, I end converters with T-O-R-S, not T-E-R-S. All right? The O-R for me, I know how to spell, I promise you, but the O-R for me symbolizes a person that's converting energy, that's taking negative situations or taking whatever life throws at them and making it positive and having it value other people's lives. So when you go to the site, it's www.energyconverters with the O-R-S to end it, .org. And, yeah, it's going to be a site that highlights events and things that are going on that benefit community and that benefit black folks or whomever, there are going to be things in there that highlight my friends and just some awesome work that they're doing. And it's going to expand out past people I know. And, you know, whether it's a teacher that's doing some amazing work or just a person that is dedicating their life to doing something to give back to people. Like, I want to highlight and lift those people up. There'll be blog posts, all the Huffington Post articles you'll be able to find there. Whenever I finish this book, you'll be able to find those things there. You'll be able to see a bunch of different media clips. And hopefully, I'm still trying to figure out how to put the podcast on there, but the podcast will be on there. You can grab those things and you'll be able to email me and add, you know, your own type of content. You can lift up people on your own. And what I like to eventually be able to do is give out scholarships or other types of recognition for people that's just doing some amazing work. I want to really push like young high school kids on their way to college to be doing like some dope stuff in their community already. And I want to be able to reward that and incentivize that. Like, I want to lift my people up. It is just something that means a lot to me. And I just want to see it done. And instead of continuing to talk about it. So, you know, take whatever little money I got, whatever little resources I have, and I'm just going to make it, and I'm just trying to make it happen. So I'm not a web designer, but hopefully you all enjoy the website and let me know. But anyway, with all that being said, happy Father's Day. Belated to everybody out there that's handling their business and doing what they need to do. I personally don't believe in, you know, congratulating like single mothers on this day. I just, nothing against single mothers. I think Mother's Day is a day for that. But your efforts are definitely recognized. Dads always tend to get the short end of the stick. So I don't want to hurt the day by doing that. So I want to continue to lift up amazing fathers. Some of those people are William Jackson. Like I said, brother of mine, but that dude is just an amazing, amazing dad. I love being around him and his kids. You know, Mylon Drake, my friend Dom, who is just a great pops. Like I just was in a situation where I got to, you know, I meet up with a lot of my male friends. I'm the baby of this group. Will don't hang out in this group, but there's another group of friends I have where I'm like the baby in this group. I'm the only one that's not married. And the majority of those folks have kids. And, you know, all of them that have kids of age are like in college and graduating from college and things like that. And I don't know if any of those, most of my friends actually, most of those guys didn't go to traditional college. Some of them did, but it's just really dope being able to see like growth through generations. So I'm really proud of those cats. So happy Father's Day to you all. And hopefully you all enjoyed the podcast. I will be back soon. So God bless and hope you all have an amazing week. Peace.
He'll be the greatest man alive. Let's go.
I'm the magnificent.
Hey, Chuck Berry of this rap skit. Styles I mastered. Many brothers snatched it up and tried to match it. But I'm still number one, everyday real. Speak what I want, I don't care what y'all feel. Cause I'm my own master. My pop told me be your own boss. Keep integrity at every cost. And his home was Natchez. Mississippi did it like Miles and Dizzy. Now we getting busy, bridging the gap from the blues of jazz to rap. The history of music on this track. Born in the game, discovered my father's music like Prince searching through boxes of Purple Rain. But my Minneapolis was the bridge, home of the super kids. Some are well known, some doing bids. I might have ended up on the wrong side of the tracks if Pops wouldn't have pulled me back and said, yo, yo.
See, I come from Mississippi. I was young and running wild. Ended up in New York City,
New York,
where I had my first child.
That's me, y'all.
I named the boy Nasir.
Yeah.
All the boys call him Nah.
That's what's up.
I told him as a youngster, he'll be the greatest man alive. Greatest man alive.